Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 13. Let's talk about the subject tonight. You're special. You are special. If you're sitting here and saved tonight, you are special. And there's some things that we can find in the Word of God. You know, folks, it's vitally important for us to get into the Word of God and find things that bring joy to our heart. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now listen, if you show me some Christians that's got a bad case of poochie lip disease,
right,
and I'll show you some people that's just almost worthless. I mean, nobody wants anything to do with them, not even God. I mean, it's sad. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so
Amen. When
we get to looking into the Word of God and realizing some things that God's done for us and just exactly our real position in Christ, I mean, that turns out to be a great blessing for us, you see. If you're sitting here lost tonight, I want you to understand something as I go across these points. You don't have what the other people have, all right? And so it's going to leave you in a dilemma about the time we get to the end of this tonight. So let's do this. If you would, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 13. We'll keep working our way through Matthew 13 and going to some other places on the way down. But let's start in verse 11 and read down to verse 17. And then we'll go back up and begin to disassemble it a little bit, okay, and look at some verses and keep with the text. Start in verse 11, if you would, please. It said, "And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." That's the premise of the message tonight. Some have it, some don't. If you're sitting here and lost, you're a don't. All right? If you're here tonight and you're saved, you got something. Okay, verse 12, "For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we would just ask now that you'd bless your word tonight. And dear God, we'd ask that you might just open the understanding of all of us here. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, isn't it a great thing when you get a good view of something?
Amen.
You know, we can drive around and you get a certain view of things. You can see the trees, you see this. You might say, well, on the other side of them trees is a lake and so on. But you get in an airplane and fly over it, and you look down on it, a totally different view of things. Isn't that right? Totally, totally, everything you see. You see a lot more, everything, totally different view. When I was going to school many years ago, this teacher called us up. She had a microscope there, and she said, "Now, I want you all to come up here and see this. There's some things here that you cannot see just with your eyes." And so I never will forget, boy, we walked up there and we looked through that microscope, and you can see all them little bugs crawling around, you know, like Washington, D.C. And lo and behold, you know, you realize, well, you know something? You wouldn't be able to see that without that microscope. Isn't that right? Now, folks, listen. God's the same way. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in you, your radio is not going to work. You know that? Unless you got the antenna, the radio is not going to do any good. And there's all kinds of things happening around us. And you see, unless you're hooked up, right, you're just not going to see it. You're not going to hear it. And it's a sad thing. But when I look at this, I realize there's a lot of people walking around that they can't see it and they can't hear it. You know that? They don't. Now, they're in a bad position. You know that? Now, if you're sitting here and saved tonight, you ought to rejoice that God has done something for you.
Amen.
Now, go to verse 11. Get your Bible in your hand. This is going to be a textual message tonight. I'll get the main verses out of this passage of Scripture, and we'll go to other places to support it, all right? Verse 11, it said, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. All right. Now the Lord is making a pretty clear statement here, isn't he? To them, it's not given. Now, some people, they just don't know how to handle God when God wants to be selective in some things. Selective, elective, however you want to say it. But now, God is quite clear here, isn't he?
Amen.
Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, when I look into the Word of God, God's sovereign. He can do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to, with anybody he wants to, anywhere he wants to. Isn't that right? Now listen to this. You got your Bible in your hand? When I look at this, and God says, All right, it's given to you, but not to them. Matthew chapter 11. Go there. Matthew 11, 25. Let's look at this. Look what he says here. Matthew 11, 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
You know something? Isn't it amazing what God can do?
Amen.
One of the greatest experiences in my life happened about 1970. I was teaching college at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. I was going to a church. The pastor was Hobson Wolf. He couldn't read nor write. But the man had the Word of God memorized. His wife read the Word of God to him. He'd go to the pulpit. He always opened it up to Psalm 23, same spot, and preach. I'd keep track sometimes. He'd quote sometimes 40, 60 verses in a sermon and stuff. The man had unusual wisdom. But he took me one time up toward Greenville, South Carolina, and I was sitting at a table. Myself and some other guys, young fellas, we were sitting on this side of the table. Well, there was six elderly preachers. The youngest was 86. The oldest was 97. They come up there and they sit down across from us. One of them said, Any of you boys called to preach? I was hoping the guy next to him, he'd say, Yeah, because I want to hear what they had to say. I don't know if I want to get involved in that conversation or not, but I said, yeah. And man, they started talking. Now you realize this is 1970. The youngest of those men was 86. The oldest was 97. All of them was born in 1800s. Well, you see, to them, the major prophecy for them was that one day Israel would become a nation. I mean, I've got some of their sermons. And in the 1920s, in the 1930s, during the Second World War, those men were preaching that one day Israel would become a nation. Well, those men lived to see that.
Amen.
Now listen to me. As I talked to those men, I told them, I said, stop, I went and got me a notebook. Man, I was taking notes. Well, you know, they kept on talking, and finally, this one guy was about 92, he said, Now, boy, I'm going to tell you something. He said, now right now, with what you believe, he said, you're in the majority. He said, time you get into your 60s, you're going to be in the minority. Sure enough. Before we got out of there, though, sticking with this verse in verse 25, I said, fellas, before we go, I got to ask y'all a question. I said, how much education do you guys have? And the first guy told me, he said, I got a sixth grade education. The second man told me, I got a sixth grade education. The other four had a fourth grade education. But you know something? Man, they had their nose in the book, and the Holy Ghost of God had their head in the book and their heart in the book. And buddy, let me tell you something. Isn't it amazing? Everything those men said has come true.
Amen.
You know something? You see, they were living in a biblical culture. They were thinking biblically, and they could see in the Word of God because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. They could see what was going to happen, and it was coming down the pike. Everything they said is true. Man, they dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Look at the verse. At that time, Jesus answered and said to them, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent hast revealed them unto babes. You know something? Isn't it amazing what we begin to realize? I know some young children, as you know, as a missionary for years, working behind the Iron Curtain, and some of those kids back there are just amazing with the Word of God. Go to Matthew 16, verse 17. Matthew 16, verse 17. Look what we find here, keeping in line with what we got in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to them, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen. The very principle of spiritual knowledge is the fact that God the Father's got to reveal it to us.
Amen. Yes.
If He does not reveal it to you, you're just not going to get it.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. I talked to Dr. Bottlestopper one time, and Dr. Bottlestopper comes to the conclusion that if he studied culture long enough, Hebrew long enough, Greek long enough, the word of God and the grammar of the stuff, that he could get the spiritual meanings of it. I told him, I said, listen, if I had a dog that dumb, I'd shoot it. There's no way in the world you're going to take physical means and get spiritual knowledge.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. You see, when we look at this, we realize, man, the saved are special, aren't they?
Yes.
You're special if you're saved because you can see things others cannot see. You can hear things others cannot hear. You can understand some things that others cannot understand. Because God, the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, grants that to you.
Amen.
Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 16, 17, and 18. Let's see what we can find here in this subject of the fact that you are special. Start in verse 16, Ephesians 1. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see that? Who's going to give that knowledge? God is. Isn't that right? God is. Had a Campbellite come up to me. This Campbellite, he even started talking to me, and he said, you Baptists think you know everything. I said, no, we don't think we know everything. We just know what God allows us to know. And I said, and the Holy Spirit does that. And since you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, that means, man, you're dumber than a rock. and anyway, I said, tell me about your history. Well, they wanted to deny everything about Barton Stone and everything else. They wanted to deny all that stuff. And he said, I'll give you the last word. And I just looked at him and walked off, and he said, aren't you going to say something? And I just shook my head and walked off. Finally run out to my truck, and he said, why aren't you saying something? I said, man, you're so stupid, you wouldn't figure that anyway. I said, anybody that would deny their own heritage and history, ain't no sense me talking to them.
Amen.
Forget that. Now listen, folks. Let's understand something really, really important here, all right? Go to verse 18, Ephesians 1:18. That the eyes, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Look what it says. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know what? There's a couple men walking on the road to Emmaus. And they didn't recognize the Lord. And all of a sudden the scripture said, and when their understanding was opened, you know what? When my understanding was opened, when God opened my understanding, I saw myself as a sinner needing a Savior, dying and going to a Christless grave in the devil's hell. Somebody said, what'd that do to you? Well, it scared the hell out of me. Man, I wasn't afraid of man and beast. I was a paratrooper, ranger, trooper, soldier, willing to die. Man, I was a paratrooper, mess hall fed, self-motivating, airdroppable, ready to deploy anywhere in the world on a moment's notice. But when that got a hold of me, God showed me the vanity of that and the reality of that.
Amen.
And that'll bother you.
Amen.
That will bother you.
Amen.
And it bothered me. Now listen, when God opens your understanding, you're going to see some things about God you never saw before. Very, very important. Now, by the way, let me put a penny in that meter and park on that. Well, you can't put a penny in no more. You got to put a nickel or a dime. I'll put a nickel in and give you a penny's worth. Folks, I want to tell you something. This crowd that says they're saved, like I said last night, and they have no desire to read the Word of God, no desire to witness nobody, no desire to pray, no desire to come to the house of God, nothing like that. Listen, if that's salvation, boy, there's something wrong with mine.
Amen. Right.
Boy, when God saved me, I had my cigarettes. I said, I can get rid of them cigarettes. Well, anyway, lo and behold, a little after that, I got blowed up with a landmine, and that helped me quit smoking cigarettes. But I got saved, and I got to thinking, I'd like to have a cigar. They used to make these cigars, Crooks, old Crook cigars, rum soaked. Man, them things are good. I mean, you could smoke them, chew them, or eat them. Didn't make any difference. They were good. But you know something? The Bible, I asked the guy, I said, what's Christian? He said, it means Christ-like. I just couldn't see Jesus walking around sucking on a cigar, sucking on a cigarette with a dip of snuff in his mouth, chewing tobacco, whatever. That just didn't match, did it?
Amen.
But now I get all these people say they're saved. And why does God save some people and do that to them, then save other people, and they still live like hell all the time?
Yep.
That don't make any sense to me.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. If that's you, it shouldn't make any sense to you either.
Right.
That's not logical, is it?
Right.
No. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, it's going to show up on the outside of you.
Amen.
All right? Because your understanding is going to be opened. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Then we'll go back to Matthew 13, hit a few verses, look at some others, and we'll be done for tonight, all right? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's see what we add for 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen.
Boy, look at that. Boy, the light shined and you could see the glory of God. Oh, amen. I don't know about you, but my God's really big. You know, that he can do anything he wants to, with anybody he wants to, anywhere he wants to. Last night I talked about that word possible. Isn't that right? Well, you know what happened this morning? Now listen, I got a brother. He's a half-brother. All my sisters are half-sisters. They all got different names. But now listen, let me tell you what happened this morning. That bird never calls me. Now, he's so crooked that when he dies, they'll have to screw him in a box. Now, let me tell you something. He actually called my house this morning, wanting to talk to me. He never calls me. He lives in Oklahoma City. He's got a wall in his house about that size. Halfway up, it's just nothing but porno movies. That's all. I mean, the guy's mind is shot. gone. But I've been praying for him. Give me an opportunity to talk to him. And guess what? I talked to him this morning.
Amen.
All things are possible with God.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. 1 Peter 1, 10, 11, and 12. Let's see what we can find here. 1 Peter 1, 10, 11, and 12. You see, you're special. God does something for the saved, and they're special. He gives them this unusual knowledge. He gives us the ability to see, to hear, to understand. He opens some things up to us, and we can look at it and see. 1 Peter 1, 10, 11, and 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. How you like that? You know something? Isn't it amazing? I mean, you can experience things that the angels in heaven are standing up there looking down. And I, if you want to just have fun with it, I can see some of the angels stand up and say, man, I'd like to get in on that, wouldn't you? And that's good. I'd like to get in on that. Now listen to me, folks. You see, you're special. Do you understand that tonight? If you're sitting here tonight, you're saved. Boy, you're going to understand some things. That the people around you, I don't care if they got so many degrees, they look like a walking thermometer. But now you listen to me. They're not going to be able to understand some things that you can understand.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Boy, now listen. Now if that don't bless you, your blesser's broke.
That's right.
My soul, that makes me happy. And there's a whole lot of me to get happy. Ooh, especially after going to that place, I'm really happy. Now listen. Go back now to Matthew 13. Let's do this. You see, when I look at this, before we move on, I want to do something now. I want you to go to Matthew 13, verse 35. Now, then we're going to end with verse 35 in a few moments. But go to verse 35. Now, look what it says. Matthew 13, 35. That it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. How you like that? You know something? You see, there are some things that's kept secret. And boy, as he goes about revealing those, he doesn't reveal them to everybody, does he? Passages, the Word of God declares that. Isn't that right? All right. Go back to Matthew 13 now. We're going to get up in the front of it. Here's what I want you to do. Go to verse 16 now. I want to show you something. Verse 16. Two things I want you to see here. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Isn't it an amazing thing? You see, the saved people can see what's happening around us. I had a fella the other day, lost, dying, going to hell. I mean, highly educated. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I don't understand what our politicians are doing. Preacher, I said, what do you mean? He said, it's not logical what they're doing. He said, it's just not logical what they're doing. He said, don't they see what they're doing? And he carried on for a while. He said, how do you see it? I said, I see it right in line with God's word, sir.
Amen.
Right in line with God's word. God said this world's going to get in such a condition that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I said, God's right on schedule. He said, I don't see it that way. I looked at him, laughed, and I said, amen. I said, I knew that was coming. And he said, what do you mean? I said, the word of God's quite clear. It said that the saved can see some things that the lost cannot see.
Amen.
I said, well, sir, you're going to look at this culture, this political, socio situation in one way, and I'm going to look at it another way. So you see, if you're sitting here and saved tonight, you can see some things that others cannot see.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now, don't you like to see things?
Amen.
When I was in Vietnam, I had a special operations group. I had a little Japanese guy with me. His name was Peanuts Nakamura. Now, Nakamura had cat's eyes. That dude could see at nighttime. And so when we went out at nighttime, I always put him on point. If his eyes were that good, why not, right? Man, I always put him on point. And I mean, it was dark one night. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And we walking. And all of a sudden, Nakamura, he goes. And he points down, and he always had a green filter on his flashlight, and he'd hold it on the ground like that. And boy, you could see two or three leaves that had been turned upside down, see the white side of them leaves. And he pointed down there, and he reached down there, and he easily moved them leaves. And man, there's a tripwire right there. You know what? He did that, and did that, and did that, and did that. And somebody said, why don't you put somebody else up front? Why? Right? We had a sniper one time who kept shooting at us. I had a stupid lieutenant come in. Of course, all of them stupid, so it ain't nothing new. He was normal. And I told this one lieutenant one time, he come up here, and the same lieutenant, he said, that sniper's shooting at us. I said, leave him alone. I said, he's been shooting up for 3 weeks, hadn't hit nobody yet. I said, he does it every day at 3 o'clock, shoots over our head, climbs out of the tree, goes away. I said, you kill him, they allowed to put somebody in there to shoot. I said, leave the man alone. It got to the point when he'd crawl out of the tree and take off running, we'd wave at him. And listen, that lieutenant, he bothered me. I told him one day, I said, you're so dumb, if your IQ drop one more point, you'd be a plant. Now, leave the guy alone. Now, listen, folks. But Nakamura could see things that other people just flat could not see. You know something? Isn't it amazing? You parents sit here sometime, talk to your children, and you feel like you're talking to a stump. You try to talk to the kids, and man, I mean, it seems like that they got mud in their ears and they're as blind as a bat. They're walking down a road that you know is wrong. You've done been down there and come back and got run over in both directions. And the kids, boy, they're going to do it. They're going to go that way. Don't make any difference what you say. They're going that way. They're going to do it. You see, they're just not seeing things like you see it, are they? They're not seeing it, are they? They're not seeing what drugs can do to them and what immorality can do to them.
Amen.
They're not seeing that. They're not seeing what the little vices of the flesh can do to you. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Luke 10, 23 and 24. Speaking of the eyes here, all right? Luke 10, 23 and 24. Look what we find here. And he turned unto him and his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. You know something, folks? If you're sitting here tonight and you can see God's hand working, and you can see some things in the Word of God, and you can see that God's alive and well in the universe, blessed are your eyes. Look, that Jesus looked at these men and said, blessed are your eyes, for they see these things. You know something? If you're sitting here and saved tonight, do you understand that you're something special? Do you understand that you got some inside information on what's happening?
Amen.
That the wisest man in the world, if he's not indwelt by the Spirit of God, there's no way in the world he can know these things. He's blinded to them. Verse 24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. You know, it's what a blessing it is. Isn't that right? Turn to John chapter 8, verse 56. John 8, 56 real quick. Similar thing. We're dealing with the eyes. We're going to find here, he said, and your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Boy, let me tell you something. I heard an old preacher preaching on that one time, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. In other words, Abraham was way down that way. Christ came way down that way, and Abraham way back that way could see what was going to happen down in that day. You know that? And now, is not that the way it is today? Huh? Listen, as the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of the heart and minds of the children of God and begins to show them what's happening.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now, the folks, listen. When I get to looking at this, I realize, my soul, no wonder I've met some people in the past that was stirred up. I mean, boy, some people that was just plumb excited. Why? Because they could see some things. Years ago, there was a span, a tugboat had broke loose, and it went down the lake, and it knocked a span of the Lake Pontchartrain Bridge. And man, the cars had come up over that thing at nighttime, and they just go off, go into the lake. And a bus had come up there, and a bus went off and went into the lake. And one of the guys that was in the bus managed to get out of the bus, crawl up the trestle, and he was up there on the road trying to get people to stop. There he was, wet, nasty, panicking, hollering at those people, stop, stop. Man, some of them would just look at him, man, this guy's nuts. They'd drive around him, going up there, off they'd go. Somebody else come up there, off they'd go. Finally, one man stopped and jumped out and said, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, man, a tugboat broke the span of the bridge out, and people just keep driving around me and going off. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's just the way it is, isn't it? Some people want to know why some of the old preachers that I knew, man, they just excited. The old Hobson Wolf couldn't read and write. That old man gets excited to get to preaching about the things that's happening and in the political situation, religious situation, family situation, everything, educational situation. And somebody say, oh, Hobson's going to have a heart attack. And Hobson, you preach like that, you're going to die. He said, I'll die when God wants me to die. And that's all there is to it. Well, you know something? I asked one day, I said, Hobson, why in the world do you get so excited like that? He said, man, don't you understand? He said, I'm standing on the bridge trying to get people to stop. I'm trying to tell them. He said, I can see something that they can't see. And they're just walking on and on. Now listen, folks. Listen, you know something? Raise your hand if you're awake. All right, some of you still asleep anyway. But like I said last night, you know, I got to watch that, right? Remember that the guy, the preacher? He said, wake that woman up back there. And her husband said, you put her to sleep, you wake her up. Now listen, folks. You got to understand something that's very, very important. If you're not excited about your position in Christ, why do you expect somebody else to be?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I mean, my soul. I got some neighbors, and they got some kids. I wish they'd move. No, never mind. Anyway, we'll. That's another subject. But you know, they come out of the house here a couple months ago. I mean, them kids, they was bouncing off the trees, the cars, everything, boing, boing, boing. I mean, man, they were wild. They were excited. I said, what in the world are you kids so excited about? And they said, oh, we're going to the carnival. Oh, we're going to the carnival. I thought to myself for a second, I'm fixing to have some fun with this. Man, I went to running around the yard. It didn't take me long to get out of breath. But anyway, I was running around the yard, crow hopping, shouting, oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Finally, the mother come walking over. She said, what you all excited about? I said, honey, you going to the carnival? I'm going to heaven. I said, if you can get that excited about going to the carnival, I can get that excited about going to heaven.
Amen.
Now, folks, listen. If you can't get excited about it, don't you expect somebody else to?
That's
right. Isn't that right? Good Lord, you're special. Everybody say, I'm special. Say it.
I'm
Oh, good Lord. That's sad. Anybody here saved tonight?
Amen.
Huh? Say it. I'm special. If you're saved, say it. Ready? I'm special. All right. Now, some of you didn't say it, so I got a question mark over you. All right. I got a question mark over you. You know why I got a question mark over you? Because, see, if you can't sit amongst God's people and participate, there's something wrong with your heart. You know that? There's something terribly wrong with you. You say, ain't nothing wrong with me. Yeah, there is. I'll argue with you. I like to argue, as long as it's not with my wife. Turn to Job 33 real quick. Let's learn something. In verse 16 it said, "For they see and your ears, for they hear." Isn't it good to hear some things? Boy, it's good to hear things. Sometimes it's really good to hear some things. Job chapter 33, starting verse 14. Look at this. "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears." Who opened the ears? God did. "Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." Ha ha. Isn't that good? Amen. He opened. That's why that boy right there went to the mission field. That's why I went to the mission field. That's why he's preaching. God opened the ears. Sealeth the instruction. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? Turn back to Matthew 13 real quick. You see, when I get to looking at this, I realize my understanding gets open. Gain knowledge because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because you're something special. Your sight gets open to where you begin to see things. And then your ears are open that you can hear things. Isn't that good? Oh, listen. Listen. It's good to hear some things, isn't it? Oh, I love good preaching. Oh, I just didn't say that to let somebody preach to me as anything. I mean, I love good preaching. Don't you?
Amen.
Now listen, folks. If you have a problem with hearing the word of God, there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
That drastically wrong with you.
Amen.
I like hearing the word of God, don't you?
Amen.
Now listen. You see, things become valuable. There's things that you hear in your life sometimes that just, they stick with you. Isn't that right? You know, there's an illustration that I've used, and I'm sure they've seen it. But when I went back, I'd done a lot of work behind the Iron Curtain before it came down, and went back into Romania when Ceausescu was still in power, and Czechoslovakia in that area. And I went to a home, and we left there and went on into the Soviet Union. And we walked into this home, and the mother was there, some of the kids was there. Dad had been arrested and put in prison for preaching. And this guy from what was called Lichtum Ostrom, Light to the East, he was there interviewing this little boy. 10 years old. And I stand there watching this, and that guy, he kind of knelt down and he asked that little boy, he said, "Son, where's your daddy?" And that guy looked at him and said, that little boy looked at him and said, "In prison." He said, "What's he in prison for?" He said, "Preaching." And he said, "Well, what do you want to do when you grow up?" And that little 10-year-old boy said, "I want to be a preacher. Just like my daddy." He said, "Well, don't you know you'll wind up going to prison like your daddy?" And that little boy, he straightened up. Tears began to run down his cheeks. He straightened up his little old rags. And he said, "Sir, I know that in America, that the heroes of the children in America is great big men to play with little rubber balls." He said, "But my hero is Moses standing at the Red Sea telling the people of God, stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord."
Amen.
He He said, my hero's Elijah confronting Ahab. He said, my hero is Paul on Mars Hill.
Amen.
But then that little boy began to cry a whole lot. And he said, but I want to tell you something, sir. He said, the greatest hero of them all is my daddy. You know what we need in America? We need some parents to become the heroes of their children.
Amen.
Rather than letting some, listen, when these brain dead basketball players put their earrings on, put the hats on backwards, I won a steak dinner. I told this guy, I said, listen to me. I said, you see that? I said, I'll give it a month. And all the wannabe teenagers will be walking around with their hats on backwards. And I said, even their stupid dads will start doing it.
You're right.
Walking around wearing the little earrings, hats on backwards, bobbing, trying to be a wannabe.
That's right.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Boy, it happened just like it did. I went over to that guy. I said, I pushed the doorbell. He comes to the door. He said, oh, shut up. Let's go eat. Don't you understand the problem with cultural influences in Christianity?
Tell it. Amen.
Don't you understand the influences of that stuff? I mean, why in the world would Christian men want to rob their wives' jewelry box and put them a little earring in?
Right.
I'm telling you what, if there's anything trips my trigger, it's that. What are you, half queer? You in a crisis? Can't figure out whether you're a man or woman? I went to a church and a preacher come walking out and he wearing one of them mod shirts. I thought to myself, I'm in the wrong church. He had a little thing like it, having a little ear bob in. And he came walking out there. He said, Dr. Fowler, I'm so glad you're here. I said, you won't be. You won't be. I told him, I said, man, you're doing everything I don't like. I said, like Charles Spurgeon said, you've turned your platform up here in front of this church. You've turned this platform into a stage. You've turned your parking lot into a circus. And you're in an identity crisis. You don't know whether you're a man or woman come walking out here.
Yeah.
I said, now, are you sure you want me to preach to you? Well, maybe I don't. I took my Bible, went back out, got in my car, and left. Now listen, you might say, why'd you do that? Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, I could see some things that I didn't want to be identified with.
Amen.
I could hear some things I didn't want to be identified with. God had given me some knowledge. Now you got to understand something. Anybody in here know anything about physics, you're going to know this. If there's an action, there's a reaction. Anytime you do one thing, something else is going to happen. I don't care how small it is. Isn't it amazing? You go up the side of a mountain, shoot a little old bullet about that big around, poof, in the mountain, half the mountain fall down, all the snow does. Verse 17, Matthew 13, 17. Watch this now. Now do you understand? If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, you're special. Why? Because your understanding's been opened. You can understand things better. If you're here tonight and you're saved, do you understand your eyes have been opened? You can see things that others cannot see. You're something special. Do you understand that if you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, you can hear things that others cannot hear? And that's because you're something special. Okay? Go to verse 17, Matthew 13, 17. This is where we end. He says, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear, look with this now, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, in other words, what we find then is this. We've talked about the understanding. We've talked about sight. Talk about the hearing. Let's talk about special privilege. How do you like that? Special privilege. Do you understand you're privileged? Special privilege. I mean, prophets, angels, Gentiles, the righteous, have wanted to see and hear the things that you've been able to witness and to hear. And they did not. They desired it. But God has given you the privilege to see it and hear it and experience.
Amen.
You are something special. So, if you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, you better understand something. If God will give it to you, there's a lot that you cannot understand. There's a lot you cannot see. There's a lot you cannot hear. You're not part of this privileged crowd. You know something? I went to a Russian service one time, and there's about 700-800 Russians there. Pretty interesting. Oh, the old Russian pastor was up preaching, and he preached a little bit in Russian, a little bit in German. And boy, he got to talking about dying and going to hell, and dying and going to heaven. Like Brother Jim said, you know, go to a person on one side, go to a place on the other. And this man got up, he's sitting in the back, and he's just crying. Man, he got up and walked down the aisle crying. And by the time he got right about there, he just hit his knees and threw his hands up. And he was a German Russian. And he said, "Bitte, beten für uns." In other words, please pray for us. You know what? Any lost person that had anything in them at all to realize what the final destination is of that would be begging every saved person on earth to pray for them that God would save their wretched soul. But if the devil, you listen to me, if the devil can blind you to the consequences of your actions, he can get you to do anything.
That's it.
That's why time after time I go to a place to preach, and you got teenagers that sit in the pew every Sunday. They get up and walk out, and before Friday, the girls are pregnant and the boys are fathers.
Amen.
What happened? Why is it that the word of God can be preached and they get up and walk out and just go do something else? By the way, there's something terribly wrong with it. Why do they keep saying, "Well, she's pregnant. Where's the boy that got her pregnant?
Right.
Why do we have to pay for her pregnancy? Why don't he pay for it?
Amen.
I don't see why I have to pay for somebody else's kid. Why don't they go get the kid, his parent? You pay for it. He did it, you pay for it. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I don't think nothing's wrong with that, do you? But now listen, you see folks, you're special, but if you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved, you're not one of those special people. Don't you think as God deals with you tonight would be a good night to just say, "God, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. Why delay? Why get up and walk out of here knowing that you just spit in God's face? What a thing. Listen, if you're here and saved, you can leave this place rejoicing. You're something special. But if you're sitting here and you're lost tonight, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're in serious trouble. But you don't have to leave here tonight like that. Let's all stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As the song leader comes and the pastor comes, let's go to the Lord in prayer.